Hi, I'm Steve Hamilton, and thank you for tuning in to Scenes of Violence on Fire Engineering's podcast. This evening, we are going to divert from our usual program of discussing active shooter, violent scene response, violent scene safety for fire and EMS, and we are going to talk to a list of FDIC instructors who are gearing up for FDIC International 2024 next month. And we're going to bring them on and we're going to talk about their class, what they're presenting, hopefully drawing some people to come to their class, and anything they'd like to add about FDIC, first tip or tips for first timers, things like that. And this evening joining me was going to be Dave McGlenn. Dave, good evening. And we have Chief Polakoff. How are you, sir?
I'm good. David?
Dave, it's the Dave and Dave show.
What's up, guys?
Oh, Mr. Mellon, how are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. We're doing our intro, telling everybody what we're doing this evening. And Frank Ricci up there in the corner. Frank, good evening. How are you, sir?
Good evening. Honored to be on.
And Chief Duffy, Chief. How are you?
Hey guys, good to see you. This is like a preview for FDIC. We'll see you all in about a month.
I like it. I like it. And of course, Mr. Mellon, how are you, sir?
I am good. How are you?
I'm good.
Good. I'm glad to see everybody.
As am I. We got some other people that may be coming in and out as we go through the evening. But some of us are gonna have to jump off of here. So Frank, let's start with you since you might have to get out of here. Just a quick who you are and what are you teaching at FDIC?
Frank Ricci, I have a workshop, The Tactics of Leadership, but it's at 1:30 today, and there's two other great instructors teaching at the same time. So if you're at an FDIC and you haven't heard Chief Dave McGlenn speak or Dave Polakoff speak, please take their workshop at 1:30 because I also have a class on aggressive search on Wednesday. So you could come see me when we teach search. And that's it for me tonight. Jim Duffy, good seeing you. Dave Mellon, good seeing you. And
Frank, what time on Wednesday?
I think it's at 1:30 too. I think I'm in that same 1:30.
Good to know that.
Each day. So if anybody comes to my class, you won't learn anything, but I'll entertain you. Have a great day.
Do you have 30 seconds? Do you have 30 seconds before you go?
30 seconds. Go.
Okay. I'm only teaching at FDIC because of Frank Ricci. He made me apply. I said, I kept telling him I'm not good enough. Frank actually came to the firehouse while I was working. There was a half hour left to submit and stood there and made sure I put my application in. So thank you, Mr. Ricci, and you enjoy your dinner.
Hey, I've learned a lot from you, Chief, and that's the key. If you're going to teach at FDIC, it's not about how far you made it. It's who you brought along with you and who you just kind of, they already had the skill, but who you just kind of pushed a little bit to get them where they needed to go. So I think that that's what makes FDIC great. And of course, check out the book, Command Presence, Increase Your Influence, at the bookstore and available at Fire Engineering Bookstore. Have a great night.
Love you, Frank.
Thank you, Frank.
Be safe, buddy. Steve, if you don't mind, if I could go next because I got to disappear too.
The floor is yours, Chief.
Well, thank you, sir. I'm Jim Duffy. If you don't know me, I've been in the fire service since 1974. I started as a volunteer on Long Island. My first career job was in Wallingford, and I retired there after 28 years, and I retired as a battalion chief. My class is called There's No Such Thing as a Routine House Fire. One of the great things about the class that I'm teaching, it's good for everybody. If you're in Nebraska, they have houses. If you're in Brooklyn or Queens, New York, and even Manhattan, there are private dwellings. And it's been pretty good for me. A lot of people call me. The class that I'm doing at FDIC, I just ran test runs. I was in Mineola, Long Island last Monday. I was in Maine for the Northeast Fire Summit, and what an awesome conference. There was probably about 250 attendees there. It was great, and I did a test run, and it really went well, great responses. And then I taught for the New York State Professional Firefighters Association yesterday, same class. So I am ready for FDIC. In this class, it's primarily aimed at private dwelling fires, but a lot of the tactics I talk about can be used in almost any kind of fire. Some of the things are specific to house fires. I talk about stretching with a charged hose line in a house fire, but many other things, you know, stretching dry is good. But anyway, come to my class. It's for brand new firefighters, seasoned firefighters, company officers, chief officers, if you're involved in the fire service. So I have a little bit for everybody. I start with the basics. I'm going to talk about a little bit of safety, maybe 5 or 10 minutes on safety. Then I talk about command. I talk about fire attack. I talk about ventilation, and I talk about search. And I use some very, very good videos and some discussions on different things we can try. And the audience will be encouraged to talk, but because it's a short class, we can't talk too much with the audience, you know, because it's 1 hour and 45 minutes. So, but I will welcome income and input because it's really important. Fighting a fire in a small volunteer department with 10 members is not the same as fighting a house fire in New York with, you know, 40 people on the front lawn at a house fire. So it's very different, but we will discuss the differences. And then I conclude with how they all fit together and some motivational graphics to just say why we're doing this. We're here to make a difference. And you know what? Making a difference is why we signed up. We make a difference for ourselves, our members, and the public. So that's pretty much it in a nutshell. It's following opening ceremonies on Wednesday. So it's one of the first classes. And what's awesome about having this time slot, everybody's pumped. They just left opening ceremonies. I could talk about, as someone said, about everything I say might be BS, but they're pumped. They're excited. I'm excited. So it's a great time to speak. Now, a brief plug for FDIC. If you've never been, if you can swing it, or if you can't swing it this year, try to put some money away. I know it's a little expensive, but you'll never have an opportunity to be in a better place. 35,000 firefighters, vendors, over 300 instructors with all levels of experience. If you're looking for EMS, you're there. If you're looking for high rise, they're there. Leadership, they're there. You can choose what you want to talk about, what's important to you. If your class is not for me, look at the list. Find somebody that is there that inspires you or can give you something and you can take back to your department. Last thing I'm going to say about FDIC, don't hold what you pick up there to yourself. Go back and share it. And no matter if the old guy that sits in the corner, who's a miserable so-and-so, I'll have to be nice. This is going kind of out to the public. You know what? Don't let him push you. Be excited. Be into the job. Be a buff. I'm retired 5 years and I'm still a buff and still going to classes and learning. So be gentle, though. If you're a five-year wonder, and you go back to the fire and say, hey, this is what we should do. They're going to shut you down. So practice what you learn. Sell it softly. And make sure the rest of the members in your department are going to move ahead. And thank you for having me, Steve. I really appreciate the text and the invite. And I can't wait to see all of you guys.
Duff, 30 seconds for me now.
Okay.
All right. So I'm going to reciprocate for everybody. But I want to just point out, you pointed out something to Frank, and that was awesome. So the first person to invite me on their show to plug my show, which is what we're doing tonight, was you and Avillo. You messaged me and said, hey, I know it's your first year teaching at FDIC. I want to talk about new classes and new instructors that are going to be there. And I'd like to know if you'd be interested in being on the show. And I was on yours and Avillo's show, and I plugged my show the first year that I was presenting out at FDIC. So thank you, because you reciprocated also the same thing that Frank did. And I try to do the same thing that you guys taught me. So thank you.
You're more than welcome. You know what? Enjoy sharing the knowledge. Just keep doing it as long as you can.
Chief, I love you like a fat kid loves cake. I'm sure that you're not supposed to say that in 2024, but I don't care. Thank you so much for taking the time out to come out. You know, I love you, and I can't wait to see you at Indy and be in your class, maybe to throw a heckle, but no matter what, I always take something away, always.
I'm not worried about it at all. I was teaching in Maine this past Saturday. Dugan and Avila both stood up together and went, "Everything that guy says is bullshit," and then sat down. And there's 200 people in the room, hysterical laughing. And it's a great icebreaker. I don't care. I'm comfortable enough now, after all the years I've been doing with it, that I'm okay. I was so intimidated the first time I spoke to her. I had no saliva for the first 15 minutes, literally. And you know what? It's been a great experience. I wouldn't be traveling around teaching at all if I didn't have FDIC kind of attached to my resume. Maybe a little bit. But being a regular or even a one-time speaker at FDIC, it gives you a little more credibility. And keep doing it. Keep plugging FDIC. If you're going, go see the vendors. They make this event possible. Your tuition covers some of it, but the vendors are what make it happen. And that's what they need. They need people to visit the vendors so they can keep doing this great show. And thank you again for having me, Steve, because I'll keep talking if you keep encouraging me. And you all know that.
I just want to throw this out there real quick. I echo, and as a proud member of the Fat Kid group in 2024, I approve of that message.
Thank you.
Also, Duffy, listen, hey, if you like pizza, McGlynn has the perfect place at 3 a.m. We're going to go there while we're in Indianapolis.
We got to bring him with us.
There's no pizza in Indianapolis.
There's pizza. There's
no
pizza.
We found the spot. And it was an adventure getting there. We found the spot. Trust me.
Yeah. We're not going to talk about that. And the need to leave rather quickly, and the fact that some were armed and legally and credentialed to do so was comforting.
Just right.
Maybe something on their chest.
We're going to leave it at that.
It was the most amazing pizza I've ever had in my entire life at 3 o'clock in the morning in Indianapolis.
Yeah, it might be because it was 3 o'clock in the morning that it was so good.
Right.
Well, again, thank you for having me, and I can't wait to get my FDIC hug from all of you guys.
Absolutely, Chief. Thank you so much.
Love you.
Thank you. Mark, thanks for having us and taking care of us and making us look good.
So Duffy's been around FDIC for a minute. All that is very sound advice, I think. I'll caveat to what he said about the vendors. You ought to go see the vendors. There's great value in that, obviously. My contention to that is, don't skip education to go to a vendor. So don't go to the show floor when you can be sitting in a classroom. If there are no classes being offered in that time slot that you're interested in, I would say you're super narrow-minded, because it's well diverse throughout all of the time slots. But if you have the opportunity to sit in a room and hear from subject matter experts on the topic in which they're discussing, and you're trying to grab, you know, an entry for a free leather helmet, or you're trying to pick up a new keychain or whatever whiz bang sticker you can get for your helmet, to each their own. But I think you're kind of missing the point of what the conference is there for in the first place. And that's my shameful make you feel guilty plug to throw out there. Mr. Mellon, I'm loving the stash, dude. I'm loving the stash. It's iconic. It's so beautiful.
So do you know the story about the stash? Like the story about the whole thing, like how this all came to be.
Is it appropriate in this venue?
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. Yeah, absolutely.
Let's go.
So I grew up with my father having a goatee, but none of my other family members had facial hair. Right. And so like growing up and looking at my mom's side of the family, that nobody had facial hair. If they tried to grow it, it'd be horrible. So I was like, man, I can't grow a mustache. Like I tried to grow a goatee, but it was like super patchy. And I'm like, nah, it's not for me. So for years I shaved. Right. And then It was probably about 5 years ago. I was like, you know what? I'm gonna try and grow a mustache. Like, I'll just let it ride. Like, just stop shaving there and just let it go. And literally, like 2 months later, this thing had just, I mean, it was all the way out to like the side by my ears, and everybody was laughing hysterically. They thought it was hilarious. And so I just did it more because my wife hated it. And so I was like, you know what? If she doesn't like it, I got to keep it. And so I had it for like a year and a half. Well, then I shaved it off right before I went to go teach at a conference. And it was right after I'd done the podcast and I started doing stuff on YouTube. And so I walked into this conference and I'm walking down the hallway and some guy said hi to me and I said hi back. And he stopped. He goes, "Are you Dave Mellon?" And I said, "Yeah." And he goes, "Dude, I didn't even recognize you without your mustache." And I was like, oh man, people actually like recognize the stash. And so that was the day that I decided I was going to grow it back, and it's going to be here forever.
Not for nothing. How can you not, like,
I mean, for going from not knowing that I could have one to this, I'm okay with it.
I get it. But I empathize with the guy walking down the hallway. 'Cause when I saw you, I think it was 2 years ago without a mustache, I was like, what happened? Yeah. Did you get into an accident? Like, what was he do?
Yeah, no, I've shaved it off once and that was it. I've had it for the rest of the time.
It was the summer show of 21 when he didn't have it.
Yeah, that's right. Dave,
Dave put it on his calendar. Dave wrote it down.
And I remember it. Oh, I do. I remember it. Because I saw him at the bar. I was one of those people also. I got dumbfounded. He's like, "Hey, man, good to see you." And I'm like, "Yeah, bro, good to see you." And I'm like, "Who's this guy?" And I think it was Frank Ritchie. He was like, "That's Dave Mellon." I'm like, "That's Dave Mellon? I'm like, what happened to his mustache?" I remember too.
I'm realizing that this is Dave and my brother Dave and my other brother Dave.
Yeah.
I feel like the
Triple D Diners, Dive-Ins, and Drive.
Yeah, we're gonna have Mark edit that out.
Yeah,
right.
What are you teaching at FDIC this year?
So this year I'm teaching Fire for Effect: The Lost Art of Realistic Training, and this will be my second time teaching that class at FDIC. I've done some revamps. I update all my stuff. All the classes that I teach, I update every year, just for content. So it's not, you know, if you come take one of my classes and then come take it the next year, some of the messages are still going to be the same. Some of the concepts obviously are going to be the same. But the content I try to change up. So as I go teach classes, as I see different things, or if I notice something from a manufacturer that, you know, wasn't in the last class, I update all that stuff. So, it'll be really cool because I have some stuff that nobody's seen yet for this next version. And so we kind of cover basically how to bring realism in fire training back in a safe and responsible manner, right? So I do a lot of things that people freak out and say is against the NFPA. It's not. And so if you understand the NFPA rules and understand how to kind of navigate those standards, you can do a lot of stuff that's very realistic and it's very safe and it's not violating anything. And that's kind of where we try to focus in on, is how do we bring realism, the most amount of realism, to fire training? Because what ends up happening is the more safe you are, the less realistic it is, and you're actually being counterintuitive. So you're training your firefighters to expect unrealistic type conditions. And so what we found is that people were getting in really bad situations because they were doing exactly what they were taught, and they couldn't recognize when stuff was going south very quickly. They couldn't recognize when they needed to make a split second decision because we weren't putting them in those positions. So the class kind of dives into how can you do that, not just within your own company, your own department, but how can you do it like at training facilities? How can you do it with regional training academies? And so we try to compact that into an hour and 45 minutes, but it's a lot of really, really good information.
Awesome. Sounds like it. So with FDIC, what kind of advice would you have for people who are attending that have maybe only been out once or twice, or people who have never been before and this is their first go?
That's a great question. So The first year that I attended FDIC was actually the first year that I taught. I'd never been there before. I think it was actually the first year that I met you guys. And so it definitely is overwhelming, right? Like there's a part of it that is overwhelming. But if I could give the most, I don't want to say prolific advice, but the thing that's going to hit home the most is try to come up with a realistic expectation of what you're going to do every day. And that's the one thing, you know, when I went there, there were so many things in so little time that I had this expectation like, oh, I'm going to go to this class and then I'm going to go to this class and then I'm going to go to this vendor booth and then I'm going to do this. And by the time the day was over, I had done like almost nothing. I'd sat in classes and I completely skipped the vendor show. And then the next day I was completely in the vendor show and for, you know, didn't get to go to some of the classes. So sit back and take the time to look at the materials that they're sending out now, you know, the programs, the classes, go online and search for the classes that you want to take, and then go search on a map and look at the vendor floor and kind of get a plan together. Cause that's what I hear from the most from people that have never been there before. They're like, man, there's so much stuff and I don't know how I'm going to put everything in that I want. And so I think if people start planning now, you know, a month or two out, it gives you the time to kind of prepare.
Yeah, and I think that's sound advice. It's poignant because I don't think people necessarily understand that we have classes that hit capacity.
Right.
So if you want to go see, you know, Frank teach, or you want to go see, you know, Goldfeder speak, it's possible, almost probable, that when you arrive, if you didn't get there early, you're going to be turned away. And Goldfeder, if you're,
might not let him in because it'll be taken away from his mustache, and his is pretty epic too.
I mean, yeah.
We could have a battle royale.
If you show up like that, yeah, it makes sense. But I've seen people be deflated by being turned away and almost dumbfounded with, like, what do I do now? Yeah. So I think it's a good idea to have a backup class. Like, pick the class you want to go to, your primary class. Pick an alternate in the event that the class, it God forbid, it gets canceled, or if it's over capacity. And once you get to the convention center and you realize how big it is, and if you, like, say, have a class that you're going to in Wabasha, and then you're going to go to a class on the second floor all the way on the, you know, the east side or the west side, that's a haul. That's a haul to get there. And where you may want to go to that class up on the second floor, it might be worthy and intelligent of you to pick a class that's closer to that class, or at least make sure that you understand the map and how to get to where you're going and not try to look at the signs, because once class is let out, that 15-minute break before the next class, those hallways are
packed. Chaos.
And it is chaos. So I think that's very good sound advice.
Now let's be clear. I don't mind the classes that are, you know, full and at capacity and sold out, because that's where I get most of my students. I walk the hallways and I find the classes that are full, and anybody that's still standing out in the hallway, I'm like, hey, I'm in room 206 if you want to come down there. And then that's how I fill my classes up. So, I mean, really, anybody that's watching, if you get to a class and it's full and I'm teaching on Thursday at 3:30, if you want to come to my class as a second pick, I'm okay with that. Come on down.
That's an excellent strategy.
It works well.
Right.
And before I get Mr. Polakoff to weigh in, because he's being the silent, you know, mature. He's
very stoic looking. That's why we were able to sell the whole vice president thing. Look at him.
I know. Yeah, we're not. It's kind of freaking me out a little bit.
Yeah, we're not going to beat dead horse. I have to point out that I feel technologically and fire service lore lacking.
Because I see that early in the show that you were technologically declined.
Yeah, we're not going to talk about that either. Everybody's background's got fire stuff. I got window blinds, which is cool. Yeah. And you're rocking the man cow mic.
Oh, yeah.
On the podcast. which dude, that's going way back, Fox News, way back.
It's
but
only
I mean,
because I can go like this.
I don't even
fire
know.
Fire engineering
to,
radio.
I like it.
I don't even know what to do with that. You know what? We're gonna. I'm not even acknowledging that. Chief Polikoff, David, excuse me, sir. Please enlighten us to your FDIC class and advice.
So I've been doing a 4-hour workshop. I want to say probably the last 3 or 4 years. And I do it's an incident command class called Leader or Command Under Fire, and I incorporate radios and tactical worksheets. So once I do my PowerPoint, we kind of roll into some scenario stuff where I'll have I have a scenario or it's not web based, but like an application for FireSim, SimsUShare. And we run incidents. So there'll be dispatch. One of my buddies that I work with Capital Fire comes with me, and they do all the dispatching, the role playing. They've got radios. They're going to be talking to command, talking to the units. You'll have the incident up on the screen, and they'll have use of the tactical worksheet, and they'll take 10, 15 minutes and run the incident, like an incident commander. And what I found been teaching that for a while is that it gives experienced command officers some reps. You know, you don't have to always wait for that working fire to come in where you can actually start using your tactical worksheets and talking on the radio and things. So it allows them to practice. And we kind of stumbled upon the idea of doing this command under fire, because as officers in the fire service, we want our firefighters to constantly train, utilizing, you know, irons and ladders, hose lines, all that stuff. We want them to be good. But I always ask the question, what do the incident commanders do to be good? You know, you can't always rely on the job training as an incident commander, because not everybody runs, you know, 3-4 fires a day. So this simulation program allows people to kind of sit down in the hot seat and run incidents as, you know, an experienced incident commander, but it also allows the lieutenants and captains that may have an interest in moving up in their career to become incident commanders to see what it's actually like to fill out a tactical worksheet, to use that as accountability, to talk on the radio. Even before we start with the incident command stuff, we kind of break it down. We start off with line officers, their duties and responsibilities. We talk about NIMS. And then I give a radio, and we just pass the radio around the room, and I just flip through like 50 pictures of fire porn and just make them give an on-scene report, making sure that they're hitting all the necessary bullet points of an initial on-scene report to kind of paint the picture, give the situational awareness to the incident commander coming in, the other units that are coming in. And then from there, we build on to that, going into actually being an incident commander. We've had a lot of success with that, teaching up and down the East Coast. It's very flattering to see the amount of people that want to come in and sit down and do the 4-hour workshop. And it's, you know, and I learn from the students just as much as they're there to take away information from me. And that's the cool thing about FDIC, is that, you know, not only is it a huge networking factory, but you can actually sit down with the students and listen to what their issues that they have in their jurisdictions. And you'll find that, you know, maybe you've already had that issue happen and you can give them some advice on how you conquered that. Or maybe you're going through something right now and they said, oh, you know, we had that and this is how we handled it. You know, hot topics now are recruitment and retention for volunteers, but it's actually bleeding over into the career side. We're having a hard time getting career people to apply for the job now. So being able to network and just talk with the vast amounts of people to just kind of bounce ideas off. And the cool thing is that, you know, all of us on this podcast right now and all the tens of thousands of people that listen to Steve's podcast understand that you may have read John Norman's book and committed it to memory and had to use it as promotional material. But that dude's at FDIC sitting down having a beer with you and talking to you just like we're talking right now. And it's pretty interesting to be able to just sit down and talk to people that you've been reading their material and watching them as they move through their career to pick up advice, that these guys are just down to earth, just like everybody else is. And there's no egos, and just have great conversations. And that's the cool thing about FDIC. I mean, if it wasn't for FDIC, I wouldn't have been hanging out with you clowns when we're there for the whole week. But it's a time to get together and, to network, break bread, break balls, and just go to the classes and sit in on classes, especially people like that, maybe that's their first time being there, and be there, be supportive. Cause you're nervous. You know, the first time I did it, Bobby Halton pushed me into to come in to teach and put me in a room that held 500 people. And I had 20 people show up. And I was like floored that there was actually 20 people that wanted to hear what I had to say. Who am I? And it's just, you know, people are starved for that information, and being able to give it to them, and being able to learn from other instructors. And like I said, just meeting back up and networking and talking to friends that we haven't talked to in a while, maybe through text messages. It's hands down the best place to go to actually sit and talk with like-minded people that are there for the same reason. So I'll stop rambling.
No, I agree with you. I think, for those that might find it not within our profession to have a business card, or to get a business card, you know, what is it? I think one of the promotions that you hear out of those, you know, places that do that's like $10, you get 500 cards, whatever the circumstances. I highly encourage you that if you have the ability to have a business card, but from your job or whatever, get cards, because the amount of cards that you end up passing out through the week is a lot. And on top of that, alluding to what you were talking about, that outside of the class, I probably gained as much and arguably more education, training through, you know, jawjacking outside of the classroom, whether it be at a restaurant, whether it be walking down the street, whether it be, you know, having a beer somewhere, or in my case, Irish whiskey. We gain knowledge just shooting the shit. I mean, just shooting the shit with somebody, and you gain maybe a little nugget, a little insight, that you can take back and employ. And if you have the ability to make a connection with somebody and you share a card, then it's a quick, easy way. I keep all my cards in my little, you know, registration ID thing. And at the end of FDIC, I take all the cards out and I line them out as to who I met where and under what circumstances. And then I start firing off the emails, saying, hey, you know, whatever the circumstance was in which we connected, you know, and try to continue on that conversation and that education. And I'll say one of the benefits to being an instructor is being able to float more or less into classes and being able to just say, hey, I'm just going to stick my head in here for a little bit and stand there for a little bit. And I've had the ability the last couple of years to be able to float into your class, where before we were in competing time slots, and obviously I'm not able to walk down there when I'm teaching, but I think that the tactical worksheet stuff that you do is just golden, because yes, under fire, outside of being on an incident scene and all of these things happening, you want to talk about being under fire and under stress at the largest fire conference in the world with 35,000 people in your classroom packed with a couple hundred people. And here's your tactical worksheet and here's your radio. And oh, by the way, walk us through this. That by itself is pressure. The audience, everybody looking around, you're like, don't screw this up. So I've watched the tactical worksheet piece and your explanation of the tactical worksheet and how it's arranged, and not lending weight towards one worksheet over another, but just what works for you. I find that to be, like I said, golden, that you discuss that, you explain it, you break it down, you talk about the importance of a tactical worksheet. And having been a company officer, like tactical worksheet, yeah, whatever. But now that I'm a chief and I'm in the car, that tactical worksheet is, if you have something where you need to do a PAR, you want to do accountability on people, and you have to do that, and that's in the back of your mind, that tactical worksheet is a wonderful thing to have. If you manage it right, it absolutely is a stress reliever, in my opinion.
Talking a little bit about business cards, and that is important. I ended up going digital. So I bought a card. It's through Link, but you can buy, like, Dot has a card, whatever. It's like $40, and they give you the website, and you can constantly edit your information, and it's all done either through QR codes or RF, if most phones have that now. And I just tell people, say, hey, if you want my business card, pull your phone out, hold it up, and I just go by and touch everybody's phone, and they got my information. And that way I always have that in my wallet, because I always seem to either forget my cards or run out of cards. But it allows me to kind of adjust and add things to the business card. So when they get it, it's basically a contact that goes right into their phone. So, being able to give your information out to somebody right away, because a lot of people are in a hurry. They want to get to the next class or whatever. It's just like, touch the phone, they got the information, they move on. But, I've been enjoying it. I've been coming out to FDIC since 2016. But this 4-hour workshop is really cool. And it is a lot of pressure on the instructors too, of the amount of people that show up and don't screw it up. But I find that, when you give the radio to the first person and, they're a little nervous giving that on scene report. By the time you get to the third or fourth person, it's like, no big deal. First person that you bring up, I find some in the audience that I know knows how to run an incident, and I'll bring them up first and let them, run the incident. And then we bring people through. And I usually do 5 scenarios. Obviously, you can't do 100 scenarios. And at the end, they get I give them a sticker, because everybody wants a sticker, and they get a challenge coin, and that they took the time to get up there and do their thing. Now we give out tactical worksheets. Everybody in the audience gets one, and they get to fill out it as we go along, so they can feel like part of it. But good stuff. And like I said, I wouldn't trade the time that I've ever had at FDIC. Just like I said, you're meeting more and more people all the time. And those things turn into other things. Next thing you know, hey, would you mind being on my podcast? Hey, can you come on my show? And I love being a guest versus doing the podcast, because it's a pain in the ass having to put a podcast together every month. But I like being guest. I like being someone's guest, because I can just kind of sit back. But definitely FDIC is the way to go. It's the gold standard when it comes to classes. And talking about the money part, it can be a little pricey. But if you do a little bit of digging, you'll find, especially in corporations, they may have money set aside, volunteer organizations, for training. If you talk to them, tell them what it's all about. On the career side, there may be some training money set aside in the budget. Maybe the union can float a little bit of money. Maybe depends on if you're in a combination system like we are in the Mid-Atlantic area. You may have volunteer corporations that would be willing to actually float you the money for the conference. You just have to pay for your hotel and airfare. I remember as a lieutenant, I had volunteer corporation paid my way to go there, and I just bought back all the information to purchase tools and equipment, and gave their board of directors a little synopsis of FDIC, and they were happy. I was happy. So be savvy. You can find the money. It's out there. Try to make it a thing. You get good enough, you start teaching, and you don't have to worry so much about the money.
Yeah, if you for anybody who's looking to establish the justification, if you add it up, you're well over 30 hours of certificate training. Mm-hmm. And now that we've merged, the GEMS conference.
Right. I was gonna say there's the Con Eds now. CEUs.
Right. So now you got the CEUs for EMS, you get a certificate, and that's a double-edged sword. So you get a certificate of attendance, you go to the class, your badge gets scanned. Okay, I attended this class, and at the end you get a certificate that you get to print and say, hey, I was here. Like I said, it's a double-edged sword. you go to classes, you get a certificate. You don't go to classes, you don't get a certificate. So if your sell is, I'm going to come back with 30 plus hours of certificate level training, you probably need to bring back 30 plus hours worth of certificates. But it's just articulating that the monies that are being spent is not wasted. And you can show that, you know, out of a 40 hour work week, a vast majority of that was spent sitting in a chair learning. And if you add opening ceremonies, both days, if you add Wednesday and Thursday, you're at 40 hours. So it's well worth it to find those finite points in which to justify why you ought to go. And that became very important as Chief McGlenn knows, very important in articulating that to our DoD components in order to get over the hurdle of we're not allowed to go to a conference and being able to do that. So you may have similar regulations, policies, procedures that prevent monies being spent for that. There's a loophole. There always is a loophole. And that's the loophole, is that you discuss that it is for education and you provide that. So that's an excellent point.
I just wanted to add to what you said. So, you know, FDIC is always going to be the name, because the name is just, it's synonymous with greatness. Like, like Dave, you just said, you know, it's the gold standard. It's not to take away from anybody else that's out there doing it, but everybody else is out there trying to catch up to what it is that FDIC is doing. The C is conference. The show has been around forever and ever, but I want you to understand this is real training. Like Steve said, Con Eds, you know, continuing education, CEUs for your paramedic, for your EMT. There's from soup to nuts, everything. And at the end of the day, the I, because I always try to stress on this, is I stands for instructor, the Fire Department Instructors Conference. There's everything from soup to nuts that you need to know, but it's also for you to take back and teach people what it is that you learned. It is real training. It's the real deal. Some of the best are out there, and some of the greatest nuggets and pieces of information you're ever going to get are going to be there in that week. And like Mellon said, just understand that it can get overwhelming because there's so much going on, and it's amazing to get starstruck because all four of us have done it, and it's amazing to see some of these people in real life, but don't let it take away from your learning experience either. You know, make sure you're at a class. Don't just go to a class because the person sounds famous. Go to a class because the information is relevant to you and your growth and your development. And take as many classes as you can.
Yeah, if you're going to howl at the moon with the wolves, you better rise with the roosters and go to class.
Or you could just stay up all night and go to class.
I don't recommend it. When you're in your 40s, I don't recommend it. I'm starting to feel it.
Yeah, that's Dave. That's Dave Mellon. Advice 101, which I wouldn't judge.
I mean, listen,
five straight days, not for nothing. Probably not best.
Listen, riding on a bird or what's the other scooter? Riding the scooters in Indianapolis
or whatever.
Yeah, riding on the scooters in Indianapolis is more dangerous than staying up all night.
Yeah, that's Sean Gray
at FDIC. Yeah, okay.
Those things are going to murder somebody. Sean almost found out.
Yeah, there's a list. Listen, be sober when you take the scooter. And because I'm in South Carolina, but I'm a New Yorker, I feel comfortable in saying this. If you're going to do something with a scooter and even the inclination of hold my beer is part of that, don't. Just don't. All joking aside, there have been people who have been gravely injured, severely injured on the scooters there. I'm not saying that don't use scooters. I use scooters all the time. Just
be careful.
Yeah. If you hit a cracker or if you hit a curb, it's over.
Or I mean, it's ass over two feet.
If you get hit by a car, yeah, that's not good either. Yeah, just be careful. Just be careful. McGlenn, I'm just going to start calling people by their last name because it's the Dave thing. And I'm surrounded by Dave and I'm kind of scared. You know, you did the great segue, right, into your class.
I guess. Yeah, I guess so. It wasn't my intent. I was just going off of what you were just saying.
I'm just saying. I'm not a marketing guy, but I think you did a pretty good segue into yourself, so I'm just going
to
leave it at that.
It truly wasn't my intent. I was trying to just help compliment what you were doing.
It's a happy accident, you know.
He always just falls into this stuff.
It's a happy accident. We'll put a tree over here, you know.
My life.
So please.
What do you want to know?
Where you been for the last 50 minutes? Like, what do you mean?
I'm going to be teaching.
What's your class at FDIC? What are you teaching? And, you know, kind of like what everybody else has done up to this point.
All right. I got the theme of the show. It's all coming back to me now.
Yeah. He and I, we do this a lot. So just anybody who's watching this going, what the hell's wrong with these two? This is normal.
Yeah. No. So honestly, thank you. So I'm going to be teaching out there again. So real quick, I got to say this. We're running around pinning medals on each other's chest and we're, you know, saying, hey, this guy did this and all that. And I don't want, I say that with the utmost respect. I don't want to discredit that. It seems cliche because so many people do it, right? Sometimes if you peel back certain onion layers, maybe there's ingenuine in it. But when I'm saying this, I mean it genuinely, right? So there's a lot of people to always thank. There's a lot of people that I've made friends with. There's a lot of people that you have lifetime friends over. And that's the great thing about teaching at FDIC and even going to FDIC. I tried to go to FDIC and teach there for a number of years. And you, Hammy, and I say this every year, any public platform that I get, you helped me format it, and you told me what I was doing wrong, and you told me what class I needed to teach. As a matter of fact, the first class I ever taught there, you came up with the concept and told me that I needed to teach it because it was a concept that I already talked about, and I didn't even know I had it there. You were like, I don't know how you don't know that you already have this class. You talk about networking all the time. So the first class I did was the Building and Training Network class, and that was inspired off of things that we did together, and I appreciate that. And it opened the door for me, and I'm never going to forget it, and I'm always going to remember that. And I share that with anybody listening or watching. There are a million opportunities out there. If you're there as an attendee, be relevant. I stress this shit all the time. You got a lot of fugazis come out there and they want to be an internet sensation and a fire celebrity overnight. Have relevance to your content, be meaningful, have purpose and have some kind of credibility to support that you should be teaching that shit. Otherwise don't teach it. But nonetheless, there's a million people out there that are going to help you along the way. If you're genuine and you really want to do it and you're passionate about it and you want to do it. I know I'm speaking for all of us when I say this, but I'm just, you know, I have the microphone and you will listen every word I have to say now. No, I am a product of a lot of people helping me get here and helping me stay afloat. As the three gentlemen on this right now and two that were on before know that I've suffered from setbacks and depressing times where I wasn't so sure or didn't feel worthy or whatever. And they helped me get through it. So I share that with everybody. It's an awesome place. It helped me be able to share my message and help me grow as a leader, as a presenter, as an instructor, as a man, as a person, as a professional. It helped me understand true integrity. It helped me understand values. And every year I go there, you know, I wrote a thing a while back and Duffy shares it every year too, with his thing on Facebook is I wrote a thing called rechargeable batteries. And Duffy always says, go get your batteries recharged. That's literally what FDIC does. It's the best opportunity ever. I wanted to take this moment because while I appreciate it, and I'll get to it, I want people to come to my class. I'd love to be able to work, you know, workshop with you, network with you, and you get to be entertained. I would be remiss to just say, listen, like it is the greatest opportunity in my profession that I've ever had, and we all savor it. You know, it's exclusive, and maybe that's what makes it gain a little luster for it, whatever. But it is an epic opportunity, and I challenge anybody and encourage everybody to come, soak in as much as you can, be a friggin' sponge, talk to as many people as you can, and then just keep trudging along and try to get out there and teach. And if you don't know how to do it, call me, I won't pick up, and then call Steve and he picks up, but seriously though, try to reach out to people and see if they can help you, you know, get your foot in the door and get out there. But go ahead, Steve. I know you wanted to say something before I talk about the class.
That's painfully accurate. That is painfully accurate.
I don't pick up the phone.
I mean, I know. Trust me, I know.
The last time I called you,
he knows, and he knows too.
No, listen, hand to God. The last time I called him and he answered, he goes, "Hello?" And I go, "Hey, McGlynn, this is Mellon. Just want to call and say, you know, what's up. Just give me a call back whenever you get a chance." He's like, "No, man, it's me." I'm like, "Oh, shit, you actually answered the phone." I thought it was his voicemail. Yeah.
That's like the reverse joke when you call and you're talking and you don't know it's the voicemail. Yeah. You flip-flopped.
Yep. Right. Flip-flopped. Yep. Right.
Yep.
That's a busy epic guy. No, but so seriously, so I'm teaching Wednesday. I got to actually correct myself. Richie thought that I was teaching at the same time as him. I'm not. He's signing. I broke his balls because he's signing. He's never missed my class ever in any year that I've taught at FDIC. And he's signing autographs for his book, you know, because he's a celebrity now. So he's signing autographs during my class. So I gave him shit for it. But seriously, though, so I'm teaching Wednesday at 3:30, Wednesday the 17th. The name of my class is Do You Have What It Takes to Be a Training Officer? And we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about all the things. I wrote a book recently about that. The class is about that. I cover all the chapters throughout that book. And I end it with the top 10 things that a training officer needs to have. And I'm not going to go through the full list, but it's going to start with being a student and it's going to end with leaving a legacy. And I talk about being a credible instructor, teaching the things that you know, not teaching outside of your wheelhouse, but learning outside of your wheelhouse. You know, not being a fugazi. It's my thing that everybody knows me for saying, you know, because I'm just from Jersey and that's a thing that we always said. And we're going to talk about that. We're just going to talk about the meaningfulness of being a fire instructor, of being a training officer, of managing and training and facilitating a training program, and hopefully inspiring those that aspire to get into that position to do it for the right reasons and not as a segue to get promoted. Oftentimes we got people that they train or they transition into the training role either as a punishment, as a stowaway, or to get off the truck because they couldn't hack it. And I want to change that culture. And I think that if there's anything I'm ever going to try to leave as a staple behind when I'm gone doing this, is that the training officer position is an extremely meaningful and important position. And I want people to respect and appreciate that. So if in the card of all the greats, you have time to come in and see me, I don't know what room I'm in yet. But it's called Do You Have What It Takes to Be a Training Officer? It's Wednesday the 17th at 3:30. And I would love to have you there. I think it'll be an awesome time. You know, I try to work the room as best I can. I learned that from Hammy because the first year I taught there, I stood up there like this with my clicker. And he said, "So next year, move around a little more." So now I literally, like, Mellon, you've been here, Polycoffee, you've been here. You know, I don't stop moving now. It's like, it's, I feel bad for people. You know, they think I must have like some kind of ADHD or something. But right. But I appreciate that. And like I said, everybody that you had on, look at the menu. Look at the menu. You know, I would be in trouble if I didn't say, you know, from the board side, we have an app. So download the FDIC app, right? See the classes, see the room, see the showroom floor. You know, like Duffy said, you know, honestly, that showroom, in all seriousness, it keeps us in business. It keeps all the great things that happen at that show in business. So keep doing them. You know, stop at those things, talk to those people, but network, man. Talk to everybody, exchange information, get to know anybody you can, and just soak it in, man. I mean, every year I'm there, I literally just try to soak it in. It's just, it's like, I'm like a kid, you know. It's every time I'm there, it's like the best opportunity I've ever had. I can't even explain it. It just, I love doing it. And I think that everybody else should have that same feeling.
It's unexplainable. Yeah,
you know, it, if you want to know what Fugazi means, you could try to figure out the way to spell that on Google, or just throwing it out there, you could go to Dave's class where he defines it when he's at FDIC.
Yeah, literally spell it out for him.
Or you could buy his book where he defines it in that as well.
Just, you could also, there's a lesser known fact that Dave, in all of his wisdom and glory, the thing that he loves the most is cannolis. So if you bring a cannoli and put it in his classroom at FDIC and just literally just walk in and just stack them on the table in the front, it's actually a sign of respect.
It's like to apples, Chief for McGlynn.
Apples for the teacher.
Cannolis for McGlynn.
Now, all right, in order for, since he threw it out there,
dude, they're going to do it now and it's going to be like a mess up.
Now, wait a minute. In order for this to be proper, those who are coming from the tri-state area, more or less, there's something in the water. Don't ask me. Maybe it's more alkaline. I don't know. Those cannolis, that's going to get you. That's going to get you extra points.
Right there, they got to be from a certain area. I agree.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like a bagel. From Jersey. Right. It's 100%, just not the same.
100%.
Right. Long Island's got hard rolling butter. Show me a place that you can get a hard rolling butter better than you can get it on Long Island. It's right. Going to be difficult. Thanks, Mom. She introduced me to that. It's fair. So we hit that hour plus, and you know, I hope that the takeaway is that FDIC is a wonderful place. That we gave you a pinhead look at some of the instructors that are presenting. We had some technical difficulties kicking things off. So unfortunately, Frank Ricci and Chief Duffy had to get out pretty quick. But my deepest thanks to Chief Duffy, to Chief Ricci for coming on and sharing, to Chief Polakoff for coming on and sharing some insight, as well as providing some information to their classes. Dave Mellon, not just Dave over here. Dave with the magnificent mustache and the man cow, Mike. Thank you for coming on and giving us some of your insights into FDIC, as well as the information to your class. And McGlynn, of course, love you. Thank you for coming on as well. The kind words, you know, that story that you tell. There's not a single instructor that is standing up at FDIC, not a single author that writes for fire engineering that doesn't have a similar story. Mine is Bill Gustin. I met Bill at a conference in South Carolina in 2008. Gave me a business card, and we've been friends and talking to each other ever since. And he encouraged me to write my first article. He encouraged me to apply for FDIC. He introduced me to Bobby Halton. And after that, it's been a wonderful ride for, well, geez, Luis, 13, 14 years now. So I am blessed from that. And it was that introduction. So network. While you are at FDIC, don't be afraid to talk to people and introduce yourself. We're all friends. Nobody's going to look down upon you. Say hi, you know, walk up to a stranger and say, I'm so-and-so from such and such. And as Dave will say, if you go to his class, you'll likely see it somewhere. Everything starts with a handshake and a smile, and you can do anything as long as you can start with a handshake and a smile.
Right.
Thank you very much for tuning in to Scenes of Violence. I'm Steve Hamilton, And we'll see you hopefully at FDIC in Indianapolis in April.
See you in April.
He's safe. Later, guys.